at 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. A state funeral will be held at Washington's National Cathedral this morning for former President Jimmy Carter. His casket will first be transferred from the U.S. Capitol Rotunda, where he's been lying in state. CBS's Allison Keyes.
On the first note of the first hymn, the body bearer team begins moving down the steps through the ranks of the Honor Cordon, the Special Honor Guard, and honorary pallbearers to the hearse.
Many luminaries will attend the service for the 39th. Correspondent Nancy Cordes from the Cathedral.
Who will be here? Well, in addition to the Bidens, the Trumps, the Obamas, the Bushes, and the Clintons have all been invited as well. It'll be a rare gathering of all of the living presidents.
President Biden will deliver the eulogy. A final service and burial will take place today in Georgia. WSB's Jonathan O'Brien is in Plains.
A large white tent near the home of the former president denotes the spot where he will be buried in a private ceremony alongside his wife, Rosalynn.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
I'm Brittany Merlot with WXCO News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WXCO website at BullFallsRadio.com. For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. The Wausau School Board unanimously approved the plan to close four elementary schools. Those include Hewitt, Texas, Hawthorne Hills, Lincoln, and Grant. This academic year will be the last at those locations.
These places are, you know, the places where you, your kids learn, have learned, where you've made, in many cases, lifelong friends, and grown from little kids to adults.
That's consultant Mark Roffers from the Elementary Facility Plan Citizen Task Force. He explained that there were 1,100 empty seats across the district, and that number is projected to grow as high as 1,300 in the next few years if there are no changes.
It's not necessarily a happy message, but it is a message towards sustainability for the district going forward.
The task force spent nearly 24 hours in meetings crafting their plans. This takes a footprint of 13 elementary schools down to 9.
The buildings within the district are getting older. We all are. But the folks to my right assess that if you combined all the deferred maintenance needs across all 13 elementary schools, you get a pretty big number, nearly $25 million across the projected 10-year time horizon from now.
Driven by demographic, families are simply not having as many kids as they were 15 to 20 years ago. With no large influx of population into our community.
Worked for a number of school districts throughout the state. Many of them are declining in enrollment, have excess building capacity, aging buildings, and are facing budget situations similar to what you are. So sometimes it's helpful to know that this isn't just an isolated case.
Students in closing schools will be absorbed by other nearby schools, including Riverview, John Marshall, Franklin, and Thomas Jefferson. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
The Bucks roll over the Spurs.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks with a 121-105 win over the Spurs last night, snapping a three-game losing streak at home for Milwaukee. Giannis with his 432nd career double-double, surpassing the franchise record set by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Damian Lillard on the Bucks' best performance since beating the Thunder for the NBA Cup.
Everything starts with, you know, our focus. And I think, you know, we've just been more focused coming off some games that we feel like we should have won. Ultimately, like, what's going to give us a chance to win games, and what are we doing when we're at our best?
College Hoops, Wisconsin hosts Minnesota, 6 o'clock tomorrow night. NFL, it's the Packers and the Eagles, Sunday at 3:30. Packers quarterbacks Jordan Love, an elbow injury. Malik Willis, his right thumb, limited in practice. I asked Love about losing Christian Watson to a torn ACL.
That's a huge loss. It's one of those ones that it sucks. You know, you hurt for Christian, especially at this time of the year.
That's Jordan Love with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Some sunshine this morning. It's going to become mostly cloudy by later this afternoon. Our high today, 25. Tonight, light snow likely. It's not going to be much. A dusting at best. Our low, 16. Tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun, 24. Keeping an eye on the possibility of more light snow by Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Temperature now, 6.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out. The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has
it? No, not at all.
In the Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again. Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Matt and Aaron airs, Greg Bach gives us his popcorn pick of the week. Mike Clemens joins for a Packers update, and we talk poetry with James Roberts of the Wisconsin Fellowship of Poets.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
January the 9th of 2025. Not a bad start here in north central Wisconsin. It is chilly, I'll give you that much, but fair skies, temperature of 7 degrees above zero, wind chill factor of 2 degrees below. I am Chad Holmes. It is the Thursday edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Again, also starting yesterday, continuing today, WXCO now has its own YouTube channel, so that means we are back on YouTube for this program. So if you go to youtube.com, if you go to WXCO's YouTube channel, I have put a link yesterday both on my personal social media and also on the 98.9 WXCO Facebook page, so you can click on that and see us on YouTube as well. Coming up on the program in just a few minutes, we'll be joined by Brittany Merlot, talk about the weather as we get closer and closer to the weekend. That's at 8:21. Coming up in the second hour, we are going to talk to a terrific senior from Wausau East High School, Jaden Garrett. He is one of the top performers for the Wausau East boys basketball team, off to an 11-1 start this year. They get set for a big crosstown matchup with Wausau West tomorrow night, so we'll talk about the season so far for the Lumberjacks and the big game against West tomorrow night with Jaden Garrett in the second hour of the show. And we'll also, of course, have our number for the day quiz as Ian tries to get back on the winning track at the very end of the show. But to get things underway this morning, again, we are very happy to welcome to the program the host of Up North News Radio, which you hear every weekday morning at 6 o'clock till 8 a.m. right before this one, Mr. Pat Kreitlow. Pat, good morning.
Good morning. The winning number? You've piqued my curiosity here.
Every day we have a number for the day. Instead of just saying it, I give my producer Ian Welch three choices, and we make it a competition. And I say,
it sounds like I'm thinking of a number, 1 to 10. Ian, you got it wrong again.
No, sorry, buddy. It's a real number. And we give him three choices, so based on the math, and everybody's always talking about the math these days, he should get one out of three right. So if he gets better than 33% for the week, I give him a passing grade. If he's below 33%, it's a failing grade, and I send him away in shame on Friday. So,
wow.
And then, of course, we also, and I say that's not good enough. We don't want just a passing grade. I demand excellence here. So you have to get more right than wrong to truly have a winning week. And then we try to have his all-time best week, which is 4 out of 5, and we're still striving for a perfect 5 out of 5 week. So that's how I always wrap up the show.
God, if you don't remind me of one of my old English teachers, I don't give A's. None of you are worthy
there
of it.
There you go. Like, there you go.
All right.
So I hold that on. You see if Ian can pull out a W at the very end of the show. So, you know, it's all about, you know, holding that audience. But something you do wonderfully well every day on your program as well.
Thank you.
I wanted to start things off because, of course, you in one of your many past lives served as a state legislator. And this week, of course, was the start of the new session and the swearing in of a number. And I heard your conversation in the last hour. A lot of new Democrats and new Republicans as well in the state legislature. What was it like the first time you got sworn in? What was that moment? I mean, I imagine after all the hard work and everything you had to do to get to that point, it must have been a very special day.
It was special. It was very special to have, Sherry there and both of my daughters who were, 16 and 18 at the time, something like that. You know, had a brand new little grandson, and it was all the, you know, the pomp and circumstance. And again, keep in mind that I've been a political junkie all my life. I was an intern in the Minnesota legislature. I worked in the Wisconsin legislature as a reporter many a time. So I was not, you know, awestruck in the moment. I'm familiar with these situations, but when you're actually being sworn in and charged with, you know, serving the constituents, your neighbors in a particular area, there was something, you know, humbling about that. And you just, again, feel that call to serve. And so if my language has been a little strong this week about the comments by Speaker Robin Voss and Senate Republican Leader Devin Lemahieu for giving these overtly partisan screeds in place of, you know, focusing first on service, well, it's based on real experience, on what it should feel like to be a public servant, as opposed to being, you know, a special interest pawn or puppet, which was definitely the vibe that too many people are giving in our state capitals and in our U.S. capital these days.
I wanted to ask you about a moment at the swearing in the United States Senate this week. I don't know if you catch the husband of that picture?
I'm sure I know where you're going on this.
I mean, I just thought that may be a microcosm, frankly, of the Trump era. I just found it to be, it is such a simple thing. And I think we all have moments in our lives, maybe we run across a person that we know that perhaps, you know, you disagree with, but at the same time, to be in polite society, you do certain things. And I thought that was just, and I just thought it was a priceless response from the vice president, because it's almost as though it almost put together maybe the last year of her life in terms of what she has dealt with.
And look, it's nothing she hasn't seen before.
Right.
Nothing she hasn't seen before as a black woman in elected office. To have the husband of the United States Senator from Nebraska refuse to shake your hand, refuse to even make eye contact with you. And I'm not going to accept any excuses like, oh, well, he had a cane, or he, you know, maybe was not feeling well. It's like, no. Look at the body language. He was working so hard not to acknowledge her existence, much less her position as president of the Senate. It was disrespectful. It was deplorable. I know they love that word. It triggers them.
I know.
But it was deplorable, and it does speak volumes that some people no longer have the human decency to see their political opponents as humans, you know, as something to simply be denigrated full time, that you can't even shake somebody's hand. You got to be better than that.
Exactly. I found interesting your last few minutes on your show, and I wasn't actually going to, this was not on my itinerary, but when you and Luke were talking about the idea of, you know, the blaming the voters. And yes, I have to admit, I'm a little bit of a different mindset, but not completely different. I do think in our system that there is a responsibility for the voters. And the idea of giving them a pass is not something I believe in. I don't think it's a case of saying they're stupid or not doing anything at all. I don't think anybody should be called stupid for making a decision in terms of their vote. But at the same time, it feels to me like our voters are not stepping up to the plate. And I use an example, one actually I thought of when during that conversation when you were with us, I think last week, talking about the person that you knew that said, I basically, if I'm paraphrasing, that he knew that Donald Trump was lying to him, but he really wanted to believe him.
Yeah.
I think we need to ask our voters to be a little better than that. I completely understand the idea of, you know, blaming the voters is not going to be a winning strategy to get them over. But at the same time, I think in a bigger picture for democracy, we need to ask, I think, maybe a little bit more of the people to be engaged to make better decisions. I don't know how to put it exactly.
And I think we can make that argument on a general level to say that we should expect all voters to be well informed. We should expect all voters to do their homework, to not fall for misinformation. Let us help you find credible sources and things like that. It reminds me of something we were taught in journalism school about sometimes unnecessarily hyperbolic adjectives. It's not your job to necessarily say it was a stupendous event. You should be painting a picture of the event so that the reader, the listener, the viewer goes, wow, that is really stupendous. Mm-hmm. By that same token, it doesn't do you any good to say you talk about, you know, low information voters or something like that. It's describe what voters are saying versus what the people they vote for are doing, and let them come to the conclusion that, oh, that's probably not a smart thing to vote for that guy, or it's probably not a smart thing to vote for that guy again, you know, fool me once, as it were. So I think if we are good communicators, as whether it's as talk show hosts or as neighbors and friends to people, we don't have to do it that in a way that hurls insults or invectives. We do it in a way that says, here's what we should be doing. Here's what voters said they wanted, but here's what they got.
Mm-hmm.
And basically put down that trail of rhetorical breadcrumbs. It's going to be way more effective than saying, oh, that last vote you did, that was stupid. Because they can't take it back anyway.
Right.
So why put them on the defensive? Just spell out the issues as they are. Make clear that when the first thing you want to do is talk about invading Panama or Greenland, what's that got to do with the price of eggs?
Right.
And help the voter for themselves go, hey, I don't think these people really want to help me at all.
Along the same line, one of my favorite segments that you have every week is when you talk to Mark Jacob about the media and how we, and I'll put our big umbrella over the top of us, deal with a lot of these issues. And I think that, you know, the first Trump press conference, I think, was a great example of that, is that, again, it's so easy to ask him about Greenland or to ask him about Canada and ask him about all that stuff that, again, was not the reason why he was elected in November. How would you grade the media? Not Donald Trump in the first press conference.
Oh, I have nothing but low marks for most of the National Press Corps because they were, again, we tried to lead them there to say, look, here's everything that went wrong from 2016 to 2020 with reporting on this guy. And yet they fell for all the same, you know, tricks and traps all over again. And only now, for example, are they writing articles about what a good economy there is.
Right.
Well, where was that 6 months ago? So from a media standpoint, we still got a lot of work to do.
Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio every weekday morning from 6 until 8 a.m. right here on 98.9 WXCO. Thanks a lot, Pat. Have a great rest of your Thursday. Have a great weekend. We'll catch you next week.
My pleasure. See ya.
Coming up, we'll be talking about the weather as we get towards the weekend. We'll be joined by Brittany Berlow coming up next. The time is almost 8:19. Officially, it's 8:18. I am Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Civic Media, Wisconsin's source for real news and great conversation, offers podcasts of all of our daily shows online and on demand. Simply go to civicmedia.us, click on Daily Shows, and choose the podcast that you want to download. Shows are updated daily, or you can save them and listen all at once. Our podcasts are sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. You are an organ donor, right? Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Learn more at heroicdeed.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Legislation unveiled Monday by the New Hampshire Senate would change the state's four presidential electoral votes from winner-take-all to proportional, based on which party wins its two congressional districts. Gerrymander the districts, and you guarantee more votes for your presidential candidate. Senate Bill 11 would have New Hampshire join Maine and Nebraska as the only states which have proportional electoral votes, and would apportion them based on which party wins Congressional District 1 or 2. In November, the state's congressional seats went to Democrats, Representative Chris Pappas and newcomer Maggie Goodlander, yet the state House, Senate, governorship, and governor's executive council all went red, in large part to gerrymandered voting districts. Gerrymandered, except the districts for Congress. A 2022 proposal by the New Hampshire House Election Law Committee radically gerrymandered the districts, guaranteeing the District 1 congressional seat for Republicans. So radical, in fact, that Republican governor and possible presidential candidate Chris Sununu surprised his own party by vetoing the map and proposing his own competitive map similar to that of previous decades. New Hampshire's incoming governor, former U.S. Senator Kelly Ayotte, may not have such competitive compulsions. With a Republican House and Senate behind her, a gerrymandered congressional district could be a twofer for Republicans, both in New Hampshire and in the presidential race. I'm Brian Beal.
Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, and also, again, at YouTube.com on our 98.9 WXCO channel. I just put out on my Facebook page, and also the Facebook page for 98.9 WXCO, a link to that channel so you can subscribe, be able to watch the show every morning live on your computer. And then if you miss the show, you can also go back and watch the video on demand as well. So again, we're excited to have, and we'll try to get more active with it as we continue as well, get a lot more stuff on there to try to get you more terrific information and entertainment and a whole bunch more. So again, go to the YouTube channel for WXCO and join us there. You can make some comments and be part of the show that way. And you can also join us on the program by calling or texting at 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297. Well, it is another chilly one here to start, but a calm morning here in Wausau at our downtown studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. As I take a peek to my right, I see some blue skies. The sun is rising. 7 degrees is the temperature. Wind chill factor just below zero. Heading towards the weekend, and what can we expect weather-wise? Well, the person that always has the information that we're looking for.
How are you doing?
Very nice. It's a, you know, as you wake up this morning and you go outside and you take a look, you know, not much wind, nice and calm, nice for this time of year, a very nice start to the day.
Yep. Clear, cold, and calm compared to the rest of the country. Goodness gracious.
Oh, isn't it crazy? I mean, you have the winter weather that's going so far to the south in this country. You have the wildfires because of the incredible winds and the dry conditions out west. I mean, you know, it's like a weather smorgasbord with a bunch of lousy food. it's crazy out there, isn't it?
Honestly. And if you don't see climate change written all over this and what's happening, I don't know what to tell you, because honestly, this fire in California, all of the fires, right? There's no more for them. There's no wildfire season. It's wildfire year now. And these Santa Ana winds, which is basically a high pressure, dry air over the inland areas. It rushes down across the deserts towards the water. Usually the winds come from the water. This season usually pushes the winds the other way. So that's why all these big areas and valleys are seeing these fires, the wildfire smoke sitting in the valleys, terrible air quality for them. I mean, if we thought we had it bad a couple of years ago when we had the wildfire smoke by us, imagine the fire in your back door. You know what I mean? Like, it is hard for them to breathe. It is hard for all of that. So that right there, climate change has written all over it. And then you go ahead and take a look at down south, things are flipping backwards. I mean, it is snowing in Dallas, Texas, right now as we speak. They're getting accumulating snowfall and is moving, of course, in towards Tennessee, Kentucky area, and completely missing us. I mean, what we're going to see from this exact system, that snow system to the south, is just some light flurries and light accumulations tonight. So beautiful to start our day, cold to start the day. But as the system starts to move closer to us, we are going to see winds increasing, so becoming breezy by tonight. We're going to see clouds increasing, so becoming cloudy by this afternoon. So get out right now and soak up the sunshine if you like it, as it's going to go away for a little bit. And then we'll start to see some flurries possible by this evening. Light snow, mainly after midnight. And a few flurries could be flying early tomorrow morning as we wake up for that morning commute. So it could be a little slick. Give yourself some extra time. But we're not looking at major accumulations with this. Honestly, probably a half an inch.
So it's half an inch more than we've been getting.
Yeah.
Something's better than nothing. I don't know whether or not the information I was seeing is totally true. So I'm going to ask you about it, because going towards the weekend, it looks like we're going to get off to a pretty good start on Saturday in terms of the weather. Have some sunshine. But then I saw there's a chance of some snow later in the weekend. Is that true?
Yes, it is.
Hey, once in a while, I'm right.
Yep, we've got a quick moving clipper system. So I'm swinging in from Canada.
Our clipper.
Yep.
That's so our drinking guaranteed game.
It should be.
Take a drink.
So we'll probably get 1 to 3 inches from that. Some areas, especially up north, we could see 2 to 4 inches because some lake effect and scattered snow showers continuing from Lake Superior. But really just 1 to 3 inches is what we're looking at.
Well, I mean, it's a start, right? It's a start.
Yes. I'm hoping it's enough for the cross-country skiers and snowshoers to at least go on some adventures.
And the kids got to get some sledding snow. That's, you know, as well.
Yes. You know, I had no idea. Is it Sullivan Hill? They make their own snow.
Oh,
they
have snow machines? I did not know that.
Me neither. Guess what I'm doing later.
Back when I was a kid, I grew up in Rothschild, and there's a big hill in Rothschild, George Street Hill, and it was always, you know, it's really a nice hill for sledding. And I, you know, my mom still lives around there, so I drive by there, and there's like no snow on that hill, and it's like you gotta get some snow on the hills for the kids to go down and slide and enjoy it. So yeah, 1 to 3, that would be a nice start on Sunday, and it's good to have the weather system coming on the weekend, so we're not heading to work or heading home from work on a Sunday. So
right,
perfect time to have a little bit of snow.
I agree with you. And it's just so wild how we cannot get a major snowstorm in this area. We're still trying, but
everywhere else. Not us. And I heard, maybe it was you. I can't remember who it was, but somebody taught that our part of the world here in north central Wisconsin, for all this weather change and the climate change, it's almost as though this area is kind of in an oasis away from all that. Have you heard anything like that?
Yep. We've been doing research on it for many, many, many years. I mean, honestly, the Great Lakes area is a climate change refuge kind of area.
Refuge, that's the word, yep.
We're coming to and looking to move, and population should be growing, and the South is going to be coming up here because we are going to be the slowest to see the changes of climate change, which I think is exactly happening right now as we sit here quiet and cold because we still get our Arctic air blasts. And the rest of the nation dealing with a lot.
All right. Well, good information as always, Brittany. Have yourself a great Thursday, and we'll talk again tomorrow.
Thanks. Bye, you Brittany. Too. Bye.
Brittany Merlot, our meteorologist, joins us every weekday morning at 8:21 here on the show. Again, pleasant start. Fair skies, temperature of 7 degrees here in downtown Wausau. We have an information update coming up. Time is 8:29. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, Wausau's home for Up North News Radio.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. The nation is remembering Jimmy Carter today. One of his lasting legacies is undoubtedly Habitat for Humanity. The Carters were huge advocates for the nonprofit. In 1989, Milwaukee Habitat hadn't built its first home yet. But then the Carters came. Milwaukee Habitat CEO Brian Sonderman says Carter and his wife Rosalyn brought compassion to the work site.
The former president and first lady came to Milwaukee, mobilized over 1,000 volunteers, built 6 brand new homes, completed them in 1 week, as well as doing 8 rehabbed homes in the Walnut Hill neighborhood of Milwaukee. So to say that this put Milwaukee Habitat on the map is an understatement.
And the trip almost wasn't a success due to rainy weather that threatened to derail the project. But Carter took up the news stations to appeal to roofers in the area. Sonderman recalls that they showed up in droves in response and completed the roofing for all 6 homes in just 1 day.
He said on more than one occasion that his faith demanded that he do what he did. And I think that's a great example for those people of faith to not only talk about it with their words, but to put their faith into action.
Sonderman says Carter found that in Habitat for Humanity by serving his neighbor and loving them as himself. And all federal government buildings are closed today as a national day of mourning for former President Jimmy Carter. He died on December 29th at 100 years old. President Joe Biden will deliver a eulogy at Carter's funeral today. And President-elect Donald Trump is expected to attend the service. The U.S. Postal Service will not deliver mail today, and federal offices and departments are closed. In addition, the stock exchange will not have trading as well. Flags at government buildings will fly at half staff through January 28th. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The effect of the fires in Los Angeles have been devastating. The ultimate impact on the entertainment business remains to be seen, but 2 notable premieres were canceled due to the fires, including Universal's Wolfman, which was scheduled to have its premiere at the TCL Chinese Theater Tuesday night. Jennifer Lopez's Unstoppable premiere was also canceled Tuesday night. There is no word on whether or not the events will be rescheduled. Wolfman is set to hit theaters on Martin Luther King Day weekend. Matthew Perry has managed to stay in the news fairly often following his mysterious death in 2023. His friend's colleague Lisa Kudrow made news the other day when she appeared on the Drew Barrymore show and told Barrymore that Perry gave her the famous Friends cookie jar from the set as a parting gift after the last episode. Kudrow added that Perry left a note in the cookie jar that she only recently discovered after his death. It is unclear why Kudrow checked the cookie jar after all these years. Maybe a serious case of the munchies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Some sunshine this morning. It's going to become mostly cloudy by later this afternoon. Our high today, 25. Tonight, light snow likely. It's not going to be much. A dusting at best. Our low, 16. Tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun, 24. Keeping an eye on the possibility of more light snow by Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Temperature now, 6.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I drew my brother's name 1 year and we went to the mall and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him that I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we'll take a look at what's to come in the 119th Congress. What issues are important to you and what's realistic to get done? Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
On Thursday night, the Wausau West High School hockey team returns to play in the Wisconsin Valley Conference, traveling to Wisconsin Rapids to take on the Lincoln Red Raiders. Hear all the exciting action live on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show at 6:50 and the opening faceoff at 7 p.m. Wausau West Hockey on 98.9 WXCO is brought to you by the Cloverbelt Credit Union, Red Robin Restaurants, Sun Printing, the Wausau West Athletic Department, Coast to Coast Marketing, and the Wausau West Hockey Booster Club. It's Wausau West at Wisconsin Rapids in high school hockey. Thursday night, starting with the pregame show at 6:50, opening faceoff at 7 p.m. On your home for high school sports, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The time is 8:36 here on this Thursday morning. 7 degrees above zero is the temperature. And again, we would like you to join us. In fact, we have major news from last night here in the city of Wausau with the Wausau School District. And if you have any thoughts on what we're going to talk about, we'd love to hear from you at 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297. You can also make your comments on our YouTube stream as well. Wausau School Board last night had a meeting. And they unanimously, and again, I'll underline that, unanimously approved the Elementary Facility Citizen Task Force's recommendation to close 4 of the district's elementary school buildings. And it was a special meeting last night. It was held at the Wausau East High School Auditorium. And one of the aspects about this, I'll get into some of the details here in just a moment about what the vote means, but one of the areas that, again, is a little bit concerning, and it reminds me a little bit of what happened over a year ago, a year and a quarter ago, when the board temporarily made the decision to merge the two high schools, is when the votes happened, there weren't that many people in the auditorium. And according to a story at WausauDailyHerald.com from Eric Vance, the seats were not filled. In fact, according to Eric Vance, they held the meeting, the special meeting, in the Wausau East High School auditorium so they could accommodate a large public attendance. But the majority of the 878 seats remained empty, besides the ones filled by task force members and district staff. And also, according to Eric Vance, over 130 people were viewing the district's live stream of the meeting on YouTube about two-thirds of the way into the hour-and-a-half meeting. So, again, sometimes I will say, number one, and something I talked about previously on this issue, is I think the district, the board, and everybody involved has done a much better job in terms of laying the groundwork for these decisions than during the course of the discussion on the consolidation of high schools. I think this has been done in a much better way. So the process matters. And something back when I first started this program a couple of years ago in talking about that issue was how process matters. And I do think the process here has been done in a much more methodical, in a much better way. But at the same time, now you see there, I think a lot of folks out there are going to probably start paying attention a little bit more closely now that the decision has been made. I'm curious to see whether or not there is the same kind of response by members of the Wausau School District community after this decision has been made.
But this task force has been working together for months. It's a broad representation of the stakeholders involved in this decision. And I think, again, the process has been a much better one. Back in December, this task force recommended actions that would close Hewitt, Texas, Hawthorne Hills, and Grant Elementary Schools, and renovate Lincoln Elementary into a dedicated 4K academy. And according to the task force, the recommendation came because of the age of some of these buildings. And I think anybody that drives around Wausau has been around some of these buildings realizes that some of these buildings are very, very old.
They have been around a while.
Yes, they have. Absolutely. Also, the task force talked about the suitability of buildings for learning and scheduling, the geographic spacing of the buildings across the district, of course, student transportation, and how to basically keep the neighborhood buildings as much as possible. And also, again, there's a number of empty seats within these schools, elementary school desks, you call it. You know, how many empty desks are there? The moves would reduce the amount of the projected empty elementary school seats in the district from 70% of the district's capacity to about 89% of the district's capacity. The district has about 1,100 empty seats this year. The number was projected to grow to 1,300 by 2027 if no action was taken. And, of course, there's always the financial aspect as well, because when you have some of these older buildings, that means, of course, that if you want to keep them open, you're probably going to have to put some significant money into renovations. And the district faces an over $1 million budget deficit. And there's a lot happening in terms of the budgets and the finances for the district, because you have to try to close down that number. And also, there has been some talk, and I think we're going to hear more and more about this talk coming up very soon, concerning a referendum. In fact, it's anticipated that we're going to have a referendum to upgrade remaining elementary buildings to facilitate the building consolidation. And that's what the members of the board said during that special meeting yesterday. So, again, it's a very interesting story. It's going to be one that continues. And again, it's only part of the process when it comes to where the district is going. Obviously, this potential referendum will be something that will be definitely talked about in the coming weeks, and could be very, very soon, in fact, that we're going to hear about this potential referendum actually going to ballot. And again, I just think that I think a lot of the folks involved here deserve credit for the process. And I do think that something that I was very loud about the process when it came to the consolidation of the high schools back a year and a half ago. And here, I just think that the way they've gone about it, they've looked at the numbers that are important in different ways, talking about the empty desks, but also looking about where we're going. And it's actually an interesting question, because I think as important as it is to take a snapshot of where we are today, you also have to try to look forward. Where are we going in terms of are we going to have increased enrollment? Are we going to have decreased enrollment? Where are we going with that? So again, I think that they've been able to look at this. They had a demographer working with the task force. And they had the demographer speak last night to recap how the task force worked. 10 different meetings since June. The task force looked at all the data. They looked at all the facility options according to a set of criteria that was developed by the school board. And the criteria, again, for the folks that may have not been following this story as closely, were, number one, fiscal responsibility, obviously the dollar amount, efficient building utilization, educational opportunities, being able to maintain those educational opportunities, vitally important, minimize impact on students and schools close to students. And again, that's kind of what we're going to be looking at here, the response, because obviously there's going to be some families that are affected by this, that because of the closing of these buildings, that means there's going to be some change, and change is never easy. Mm-hmm. I think we saw the response a year and a half ago about the consolidation of the high schools. So we'll see what the response is here. But again, I just think that the way that it's been done here this time around has been a vast improvement because, you know, again, I keep hitting back on this process. Process matters. But making sure that you have all the stakeholders that will be affected as part of these groups that get together to discuss these issues. And I think, from the outside looking in, feel pretty confident that the folks that have been involved in these task force meetings have been looking at all the pertinent information, have asking the pertinent questions and trying to get the right answers. And I have been in contact recently with Wausau School Board President Jim Boucher. He had said sort of hold off a little bit before we come on in and talk about this, but now that we've had this vote, I'm going to be reaching out to him again today and see whether or not he'll be able to come in here in the very near future, talk about this issue and talk about the other issues, including the potential of a referendum with the school district and very, very soon. But again, very important meeting last night. But again, I that little concern where the seats were not filled. And again, I think a lot of folks sort of wait until they hear the decisions and then all of a sudden let their voices be heard when they definitely need to make sure in such important issues that they let their voices be heard during the process. So again, we'll see whether or not there's any kind of response from the community after this decision was made last night. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, it's about so many different areas, and school districts not just here but all around the state are squeezed economically. So many school districts have been forced to go to the voters. It is something that I think is going to be part of the budget discussions in Madison because we have another budget cycle that's starting right now. We're going to have a budget address from the governor of the state coming up in February. We'll have the committee meetings starting. They'll have committee meetings go around the state so people can have their voice be heard. And if there is an area, if education funding is important to you, note when these finance committee meetings will be held. I'm curious to see if there's one in this area because it was very odd, I thought, the last time around 2 years ago, some of the locations where they held these meetings. It forced people from central Wisconsin to go quite a distance in order to find their way to a potential meeting. I hope that the Republican majority in the committee does place meetings that are close enough for people to easily get to let their voice be heard during this process. But I would hope, and again, some of the rumbles early on when it comes out of Madison this week with the start of the new legislative session is that they're not going to be looking to spend more money on education, public education. And I think that would be a grave mistake during this time of budget surpluses. Take some of that budget surplus, hopefully, to use, I think, with public school funding. But, again, it's going to be a process over the next number of months. And we talk so much about politics in the last year, talk about elections in the last year. Now it's where the rubber hits the road. This is where the decisions that are made in elections, they
you
come
to see the outcome.
This is where it does. You're exactly right. This is where we find out what those decisions in 2024 will mean to
this is
actual.
The process of we have made our decisions, and now we have to see
what the consequences are.
If we made a good decision or a bad decision.
You're exactly right.
I'm not going to say because I have a preference for what it's going to be, but I'm not going to say it.
But the whole thing about it is, I mean, this is our system in action. And the statewide budget process affects us here in this community. And it really is. It's. I hope that people keep an eye on what's going on, whether it's at the school board level, whether it's at the city council level, whether it's at the county board level, whether it's at the state legislative level, and whether it's at the federal level. There's a lot that's going to be going on.
And don't be afraid to ask questions. If you have a question about any of the process or any of the stuff that's going on, you know, talk to your local congressperson
and
or
that's
talk to your government.
Such a good point. Sometimes people are a little nervous about doing that, but no, they are your representative. They are the people that you have voted to represent you in these decisions, and your voice is very important. So if you do have a thought, reach out to the people that are representing you and be part of this process.
It's better to ask questions and just make assumptions.
8:49 is the time.
We're going to take a quick time out and come right back. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Hey, it's family time at Chula Vista with the right kind of fun for everyone. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family. Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, a rejuvenating spa visit, relaxing at outdoor fire pits, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park and outdoors with cross-country skiing, sledding, and snowshoeing. Dining comes any way you like it, from pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here, on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Discover Chula's Winter Wonderland. Miles of freshly groomed trails, skiing, sledding, snowshoeing. Check out bonus gift cards at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 98.9 FM and 1230 AM, Bull Falls Radio.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away, so come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The time is 8:52 here on this Thursday morning. Again, the sun is shining, but as we heard from Brittany Merlot a little bit earlier, don't expect that to stick around indefinitely. In fact, we could see a little bit of light snow later on in the day. In fact, maybe up to a half an inch. So again, later on this evening, if you have any travel plans, make sure you're aware of that. I do have some travel plans coming up later because I will be heading to Wisconsin Rapids later on for the Wausau West hockey team in action against the Wisconsin Rapids Lincoln Red Raiders in a Wisconsin Valley Conference matchup. We will have live coverage of that one, starting with the pregame show at 6:50 and the opening face-off at 7 o'clock. That is tonight, right here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. That is one of three games in the Wisconsin Valley Conference tonight. Stevens Point is currently in first place in the WVC. They have a 4-0 record in the conference. They are a perfect 13-0 overall and ranked number one in the state. They will travel to a Marshfield, who is currently in the cellar in the conference at 0-4. And also tonight, DC Everest is at Merrill East. And
Blue Jacks come off a 3-1 road victory on Tuesday at Marshfield. DC Evers comes in with back-to-back shutouts. They had beaten the Northwest Icemen 7-0 last Friday, and then on Tuesday they shut out Rhinelander 4-0. In fact, DC Evers right now 10-5 on the season. They are 3-2 in the WVC. And a quick note about DC Evers hockey: last night on the Big High School Sports Show, we had a chance to talk to a DC Evers hockey coach, Dan Van Slyke. And if you missed that interview or any part of the show, you can check it out on our podcast page, on our show page at civicmedia.us. Click on shows, click on air at wxco.fm, where you can subscribe on Spotify, Google, and Apple Podcasts as well. Also tonight in high school hockey, a big one in the Great Northern Conference, as the top two teams in that conference, the only undefeated teams in the league, Mosinee and Tomahawk, will face off. That game being played at the Mosinee Rec Center tonight. Tomahawk is the number one ranked team in the state in Division II, and Mosinee, they lost in the sectional final to Tomahawk last year with a trip to state on the line. So a big mid-season hockey matchup with Mosinee hosting Tomahawk in the GNC tonight. In high school boys basketball, there's one game in the Wisconsin Valley Conference this evening. Merrill is home against Wisconsin Rapids. In the Great Northern, one game, Medford takes on La Crosse Central. In the Marrowood, a crossover between Edgar and Athens this evening as well. In high school girls basketball, limited amount of activity in the GNC. Medford at Northern Pines, Shawano at Antigo. Edgar is at Auburndale in the Merrowood South tonight as well. And in the Central Wisconsin Conference, Amherst is hosting Bondiwell, and Wyawega Fremont is at Menominee Nation. And in the CWC East tonight, Northern Lutheran is home against Port Edwards. Milwaukee Bucks were victorious last night. A good win for the Bucks. Took on an up-and-coming young team, San Antonio. And the Bucks defeated the San Antonio Spurs by a score of 121-105 at Pfizer Forum. Giannis had another massive night. He just brings it every single night.
He really does.
He is a superstar that brings his work pail every night. Giannis had 25 points, 16 rebounds, and 8 assists. And he outdueled the superstar young player, second-year man, Victor Wembanyama. Victor Wembanyama, he has been just one of the up-and-comers, considered maybe one of the next Giannis's, and Wemby finished with 10 points and 10 rebounds. Well, Damian Lillard had a solid night, 26 points, 8 assists, and 5 rebounds. And Brooke Lopez also, big night, 22 points and 7 rebounds. So Bucks improved to a 19-16, and they will hit the road tomorrow night taking on the Orlando Magic.
Has Giannis ever won an MVP award?
Yes, he has. Okay. Yep, he's been an MVP. How many MVPs has...
I was going to say, if he hasn't won one by now, I think it's long overdue.
That's exactly right. He's won multiple. He won the NBA Most Valuable Player Awards both in 2019 and 2020. So,
nice.
So, yeah, he's on his way to the Hall of Fame already. If he did nothing else the rest of his career, Giannis would be heading to the Hall of Fame, and his number will be retired at Pfizer Forum someday to go up there with some of the other greats like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Oscar Robertson and John McLaughlin and Sidney Moncrief and Brian Winters and Marcus
player.
Johnson. So, yeah, he is one of the all-time greats, and we're very, very, very lucky to have him.
Yeah, he plays for Wisconsin team.
Playing
absolutely.
For us, yeah, for the Milwaukee Bucks. So that's a look at what's going on in sports. We got another hour to go. We're going to talk some more sports coming up the second hour. Wausau East senior for the Lumberjack boys basketball team, Jaden Garrett. He was with us last night on the Big High School Sports Show. We're going to hear that conversation coming up as they get ready for a big one against Wausau West tomorrow night. Also, we'll have our number for the day quiz along with our daily history lesson at the end of the show. So plenty to come. But at the top of the hour, as we do at the top of every hour, an information update. News, weather, sports, entertainment, all coming up. And then back with hour number two. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO. I was so hard to please. Look around. Leaves are brown. And the sky is a hazy shade. Or listen.
listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Friday, we'll ask former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel about the both legal and legally challenged ideas being bounced around in the final days before Trump takes office.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. The sun shone on the U.S. Capitol as former President Jimmy Carter's flag-draped casket was carried down the steps by military pallbearers this past half hour. CBS's Nora O'Donnell.
You can see members of the Color Guard there and the family watching this entire procession. And then they will make their way to the Washington National Cathedral.
All former living presidents are in attendance right now. President Biden will give one of the eulogies. Thoughts from former CBS News White House correspondent Peter Mayer.
Jimmy Carter is being eulogized in the city where he chose to be much of an outsider. He never schmoozed with the elites who drove much of the D.C. agenda, socially and otherwise.
Mr. Carter will be buried next to his wife, Rosalynn, on their property in Plains, Georgia, later today. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
I'm Brittany Merlot.